The whole thing spelled disaster.
You had to file bankruptcy?
No.
What happened?
I went off on my own and marketed the product to at least sell off all the inventory I had, took all the money that I got from that, and hired attorneys to fight these guys. There was a lawsuit. I sued them. They turned around and sued me. They hired a high-end law firm out of Beverly Hills. I have a Santa Ana attorney. The story got on Facebook.
That seems like a big problem. Let's say you get a great product like your product, and you got it in the Home Depot. How do you finance something like that? How can a little guy with no money finance product?
Well, that's the other thing, too. There's obviously financial things that enter into it. You're not going to just come up with something with $10 in the bank and think that you're going to pull this off. It's never going to happen.
But you can teach people ways around that.
There's all kinds of ways. And if you get to the point where, okay, fine, I got this product. There's lots of prime line companies out there that are willing to take the product, give you a handsome job, pay you royalties based on the sales, just like I did.
Everyone's looking for a new hot product. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Exactly. But, like I said, to make a long story short on this other thing, it took 3 years for me to get them in court. The time of the court date got continued. Deposition, it just about broke me. The attorney's fees almost killed me. By the time we finally got into court, they send a professional mediator, and he grabs me aside and pushes me in the conference room, pulls out a cashier's check for $100,000 and says, take this and run. These guys are going to bury you. I said, no, I don't want the money. We're going to court. I should have taken $100,000. It was bad. And I'll tell you who the company was. You probably had keys that said Taylor on them. That was the company that did it. Taylor Law. They were out of Philadelphia. They were the largest manufacturer of key blanks.
Did you have the product created overseas, or it was already being manufactured and you brought it in?
I manufactured everything from scratch. All the dyes, molds, injection molds. I brought in a couple of those components from other cities, so we did all the assembly right here in Orange County. I had 45 people working for me 7 days a week. It was very exciting. The first 5 months when they were paying me and the money was coming in, it was great. But like I said, these big companies are looking at me. Here's some little guy from Tustin. He's got us by the short hair of the neck because he's got the patent on the thing. And we can just take it away from him. How do we do that? We'll just owe him a bunch of money and we'll pay him.
You were so hungry for the sales and you were young, and he should have said, look, I'm a small company. I work on small margins. If you want the product, you got to pay me up front. And you know what? If they wanted the product, they would pay you up front.
Yeah, they probably would have.
You know,
they had me locked in. Their name was all over my packaging. They were my sole distributor, which was a huge mistake. And like I learned from a lot of other people that have been in business for years and years, don't let anybody have more than 20% of your business. You can always afford to lose 20%, but you can never afford to lose 100%.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have an understanding of what you think I may be able to do for you?
If we were to move forward, what would be the possible potential as far as sales?
Well, I'm not going to do the selling for you, but the potential sales for this information product, I think it's absolutely tremendous. There's three dreams that most American people have. One is owning a house. One is owning a business, and another is inventing a product and making $1 million. You've got mailing lists out there of thousands of people who have registered and filed patents with the patent department. You know the statistics. I don't know exactly what they are, but so few people who file a patent ever, you know, they've got the patent, they've invested it, they've got their product, whether it's in development or whether it's just conceptual, and they don't know what to do because they don't understand marketing. And you could market to that list of names, then the market of people who need this service or need this information is incredible.
Now, is this something you do?
My products that I have, my seminars and materials, is marketing. My products are perfect for those people as well. But when you say, is it something I do, I don't understand what you're
saying. You don't market the tape to the audience. This is up to me to do.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
Not involved in that portion.
No. The services I have are up on my website under consulting services. I can offer consulting to you. The audio interview, which I've been doing with you, I provide that as a service to nail down your sales message. See, your sales message is the most important thing of why people should buy your course. That's the thing. And once you have that nailed down on audio or in a sales letter form or on a website, the message is all the same. It's just trying to tell people who you are, build your credibility, and give them reasons why they should listen to you before they make an attempt at getting their product in the Home Depot. That's what I can do for you.
Now, can they purchase this for you also?
No, you're going to develop the product, your product. I just offer consulting as you would offer consulting to somebody. You're going to develop the product. I'm going to help you. It's just like you developing any other product. You're just developing a product that's going to help people get their product in the Home Depot based on your experience. That's it. exactly what you've been doing all these years, but it's an information product. It's as simple as that. And just like there's a market for all your key lights and your other products, there's a market for this information product. Now, what's nice about this information product is there's no inventory if you don't want it. It's paper and ink, or it's audio. It could be delivered digitally. There's no investment in warehousing. It can be changed at a moment's notice. The margins are absolutely astronomical. You could put an information product together with 12 audio tapes and all your written information. Your cost could be $7.
Right. So you just help me develop the advertising.
I help you create the audio advertisement, the audio brochure. And that's just one tool that can be used to generate leads. And then I also have copywriting services where I could help you develop. What I do is I take the written transcripts from what we've talked about, or if we did another one, I take the written transcripts and create that into a sales letter for you. So that would be a piece you could mail out with the audio. And the sole purpose of that is to get them to buy your course. And I could also help you develop the course. If you want to do an audio course, I can help you do that.
What experience or what background do you have in doing seminars?
I don't do seminars. I don't have any experience in putting on seminars.
Is that something that I might look into?
Putting on seminars is a way to generate leads for your information product, certainly. All these people like Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and all these guys, that's how they make money. They get people into a room for a low-cost or free seminar, and then they sell them products in the back of the room after the seminar. And that's just one way to do it. If you like handling events like this and setting up seminars, you got to advertise and promote for the seminar. You got to get people there, and then you can put on your own seminar and then sell your course there. That's one method of doing it. Or you could get on a seminar circuit and be one of the featured speakers of a seminar that's already put together, and you don't have to screw with all those details. You can get up and tell your one-hour story of how you did it, and you can pitch your product. And then the seminar promoter will get a cut of that. If that interests you and you like speaking in front of people and you get a kick out of it and that's fun for you, you can go that route. There's seminar circuits all over the country.
The company out of Akron, Ohio, has talked to me a couple times about doing a circuit-type situation. In fact, they've got an event coming up, a similar resource like Arizona. Wanted to know if I would want to be a part of that.
You want to think real carefully. Do you want to be flying all over the country?
Not particularly.
Then forget it, because you don't need to do that to get your message out. All that is they're putting people in a room, and it gives you the ability to tell your story. Well, there's other ways you can tell your story without you having to go anywhere, without having to go on a plane.
Right. No, that's not appealing to me. I spent too many years doing
that. Then forget it. You've told your story to me. We've canned it and cloned it. Would you agree that you've pretty much given me your story?
Pretty much.
Okay. And you've given it to me in a compelling way, in an honest way, genuine. It's real. It's not hyped. It's not fake. People just want the information. They don't need a dog and pony show. You've given me that information, and I'm sold on who you are and your abilities. And if I had a product right now that I wanted to go in the Home Depot and I was failing at it, I'd hire you on the spot. There's no doubt, because I know through your experience and what you've told me and what you've accomplished, you can save me money, and I'd pay you $1,000.
Well, it'll save you a lot of mistakes, too.
Save me mistakes, time, and money. You're going to give me the roadmap, the keys to doing it, because you've done it. That's worth a lot of money.
Like I said, I'm approached all the time. I have a gentleman that lives in Silver Lake, California. He's retired. He moved down here from Oregon. He's a retired Superior Court judge. He developed the product. I don't know why or how he developed this thing. He got a patent on it, and he's asking me, John, how do we get this into Home Depot? How do we get it into all these different mass merchandisers? I developed the packaging 5 different ways. I've showed it to 6 people. I've showed it to Lowe's. When actually I did my presentation for my product in Lowe's, and I happened to pull this out of my briefcase and throw it on his desk, he immediately pushed my product aside and said, I really like this. This is great. He said, is this something you're going to have soon or what? That's all I need to hear from him. I said, I'll let you know when it's going to be available. I put it back in my briefcase. I said, okay, fine. Now we need to get back what I came here for. But the potential's there.
So instead of selling an information product, maybe you'd be better off marketing yourself as an expert and then meeting with people like this. And the million-dollar question is, how do I sell the thing? That's all they're asking. He's saying, how do I get into Home Depot? He's just basically asking you, how do I sell my product? So maybe it would be worth more if you've got the contacts at Lowe's and Home Depot, which you do, you pick and choose which products you want to take on, and you take a piece of the action. You take a percentage of the gross. That may be more fun to you and more lucrative in the long run, and that all comes through positioning yourself as an expert. There's a lot of people who buy marketing courses who study the information. Now that they have the information, they know how to do it, but they don't want to do it. They want someone else to do it for them. That's why people will call me. You know, there's a lot of people who know how to write a sales letter, but they'll call me and say, will you do it for me? And I will, but I don't do it cheaply. It's expensive because the time I'm spending on your sales letter is time I could be spending on my own products. Certainly, you can position yourself as an expert. You got to pick your niche. Who are you? You're the expert on how to get a product into Home Depot. And that's what you're selling. You're selling yourself, your credibility, and you have obviously a course that you can sell for people who want to study how to do it on their own. And you also will have people coming to you wanting to do it for you, and you can do that. But if you want me to do it for you, you're going to charge them. You want 20% of the growth. And you're going to only pick and choose who you want to deal with if the margins are there for a product like that. I mean, you're not going to talk to a guy who's going to make 10 cents a unit and ask for 20% of the growth. You got to find the stuff that's going to make you the most money and that you're going to enjoy working on. And as you get your name in the marketplace and increase your exposure to your market of people who have developed products and need help getting them into the market, you'll have more people coming to you, and you get to pick and choose which ones you want to deal with, and you may want to choose to work with only 5 or 6 a year and just have a nice lifestyle and tie them up in a solid legal agreement. If you get it in, you make this much, and just set it up however you want it. And that may be a nice way to go.
Are you familiar with Thomas Register?
Sure, absolutely.
Is there potential in that?
In what way?
Just gathering information for people that would be interested in something like this.
Well, you've got a list of manufacturers in the Thomas Register. I'm sure out of some of those manufacturers, every manufacturer would love to sell more products, so I would say yes. But you don't want to just go to the whole list. You want to figure out, well, which products have the highest margin. You'd be going to a cold list. I think you may be better off finding more of a target market. There's all kinds of markets. If we took your sales letter and audio tape and sent it to a list of manufacturers, yeah, you would get some response. You never know who you're going to get. But I think it's too broad of a list because you got every American manufacturer there. I mean,
well, my target obviously would be the small business guy who's got some little widget that would be a great product.
There's lists available of people who have patented inventions, and there's lists available of people. You've seen the commercial SMC, Invention Submission Corporation, the little caveman, and he hits the wheel with the hammer. That's a company that sells services on how to get your product patented. So that's a national patent service company, and you can buy their mailing list of people who have paid them money. Now, this is a motivated person, someone who has an invention, has an idea, and he wants to do something with it. So he goes to Invention Submission Corporation and hires them to do a patent search for $595. Then he pays them more money after the patent search to do a patent for them. That's what they do. And then they pay more money on a monthly fee to do marketing of their patent. And they'll never get their product sold. It's a come on. It's a carrot of those big dollars that they're going to get their product sold to the millions and millions of people. But those people have invested money, highly motivated, disillusioned, and you can come to those people and be their knight in shining armor and really show them how to get their product into Home Depot. And you could choose related products that they have. If you did a mailing or a lead generating piece, something that would identify people within that mailing list who may have a product, let's say you rented 5,000 names from them and you mailed out a lead generating postcard to 1,000 of them. Let's say you just did a test, because you always want to test, and you sent out a postcard to 1,000 of them that says, I know you recently got a patent on this product. If you are interested in getting your product into Home Depot, or if your product is a product that could be sold in Home Depot or Lowe's, call for my free audio tape or call me. You know, a lead generator. That would section off the people whose product may fit your contacts, you see? And then they call you and you can say, well, I'll tell you what, before I talk to you, let me send you an audio tape. And this can all be handled automatically where you're not even in the picture.
The audio tape that you're going to generate.
Yeah, the audio tape I would generate for you. So They call an 800 number, a voicemail handles it, the lead is transcribed, a fulfillment house could send out the audio tape, or on a small scale, you could even do it yourself. And then those people who get the audio tape, they'll listen to it, and if they're interested, they're going to call you back. And then you can spend your time talking to someone who's already stated they're interested, who's already spent money with this company, and it's perfect. So you're talking to the right people. So you're only going to want to talk to people who've raised their hand and said, yes, this is exactly what I want to do. At that point, they could do two things. They could hire you as a consultant. You could charge them for that. They could order your course, or with your course, they would get consultation certificates. Let's say with your basic course, they get 30 minutes of consultation free with you, valued at $500 an hour, or valued at $250. With the deluxe version for $599, they get 2 hours worth of consultation, or an hour, valued at $1,000. So you build value into your course, you see, because you tell them you charge money for your consultation. You know, this guy, Jay Abraham, the marketing guru, he charges $10,000 an hour to consult with people. He started at two, then went to three, five, ten. So they come to you. You could do three things. You could review what they have. If they look like they have a hot product and they're willing to give you a piece of the pie and you wanted to take that product and introduce it to your contacts, you can make money that way. You can make money on consultation fees. You can make money on selling your course. You can make money on everything. That'd be fun, but you get to pick and choose through people coming to you who are qualified. See, you could qualify them in your voicemail when they call up. If they get the postcard and they're interested in getting their product to Home Depot, then when they call the 24-hour voice messaging system, you say, this is who I want to call, or this is who I don't want to call. And you could say, if you've got some bozo product or can opener or something stupid like that, don't even call me. You can qualify those people. Don't worry about hurting their feelings. That can all be developed in the outgoing recording when they call. So you want to sift through and really find qualified people because you're going to be spending time talking to these people. But they're going to be pre-sold on you already. It's not like you're talking to them for the first time, selling them on who you are and your credibility, because they will have listened to the audio tape. You're already selling them. They've already met you for an hour on the audio tape. So by the time they're calling, they're drooling, they're ready. They're already sold or they wouldn't be calling. That's leverage, and that's what marketing is. You know, when people go to my website, if they take some time and read through the site, it's all automatic. I mean, I've got a whole bio on who I am and my story. They're already pre-sold. When someone calls me, they're ready to buy products. The bottom line.
There's a few other things that enter into this also. The gentleman who was president of Makita for 16 years, and the only reason he wasn't up at the top of the ladder is because he was not Japanese. But he is in his 40s. He's been retired now for some time. Has a home down in Newport, 50-foot boat, and on and on and on. But anyhow, I've never met him. He and I have spoken on the phone at least 10 times, and these conversations have gone on for an hour, 2 hours. He happens to be a personal friend of the owner of Primeline, and I was asked to call him by the owner. Within a half an hour, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to fax you a list of 10 people that I'd like you to send samples to. Now, this man traveled with a very prestigious crowd of people, president of Quickset, president of Bosch, sales managers from all these different companies that normally you would never get to talk to, and you didn't even get their names, let alone getting samples from. Something like that is very interesting to me also, because a lot of these people, if these names could be passed on, obviously could be a help. If you got this product, okay, fine, I know the sales manager of this company, why don't you send them a sample of it? So there's a lot of things like that, just like this gentleman had mentioned to me. And like I said, in speaking to him, and he is somebody that has remained somewhat concealed in Salt Lake City, only because people are constantly trying to reach him. The president of Makita, he was responsible for probably bringing Makita into Home Depot and probably responsible for 90% of the sales in the United States. So obviously his connections are worth millions of dollars. And I know a lot of people like that also that would be willing to look at samples in a serious way. You can send samples to people and you can call them back a week later and say, so what'd you think? I said, well, I'm still sitting here in a box on the floor of my office. It doesn't do any good. Yeah, I gave it to somebody else. Well, who'd you give it to? Well, I'll have them get in touch with you and you never hear from them again.
It all comes down to what do you want to do? And that's what you got to get clear on. I think as a consultant, you should do fine.
that you think this to be viable?
Absolutely. If I asked you, do you think your product was viable when you were working on it, you would have said, absolutely, it's viable. So you wouldn't have continued. I feel as strongly that an information product with your experience and what you've done is viable as you believed in your product.
I've never thought about doing anything like this before until Harvey Brody keeps telling me stuff, talking to people. But I never thought of myself as a marketable product.
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe that their experience is marketable, but it really is. There's no doubt. There is a market for everything.
Well, obviously it was a prime line because they insisted I go to work for them, even though I demanded a high salary.
Yeah. People want someone who's done it, and they just want to know how.
Right. Well, and they were already in people. I came to them with other ideas. I have a line of ideas that came along behind me, and two of them are already starting to come to fruition. But it's a situation where they thought, great, this guy's already got a company that's making money. He can run it. At the same time, he's dragging all these other things in with him, so they recognize that.
You shouldn't give it away for free because you're a nice guy for doing it, but you're just undervaluing yourself and your services. You should be charging for this. And if you charge for it, people will value your information more than if you're giving it away for free. They'll place a higher value on it, and they'll treat it with more respect. They'll treat you with more respect, and they should pay up because you certainly paid up for your lifelong experience. That's priceless. Imagine if you didn't know anything and you could talk to the guy from Makita Drill for an hour and you had the money. What would you pay to talk to him for an hour?
It was invaluable.
So why don't you think about what we've talked about, and you can go back to my site and look at some of the services I have, or you can come back to me and say, Mike, I've thought about it. Let's create an audio tape that'll build credibility and have my story on it. And then if you want to continue on, and you can put together the written part of your course. You said you've outlined 6 pages to your buddy. You can use that as part of your course. You can take all the questions that someone would want to know, like the questions you rattled off to me at the beginning, and have that as an outline of what these people need to know. And we could do the course on audio. If it takes 4 audio tapes, 5 audio tapes, 6 audio tapes, then you could have some meat in your package. Then we can take all the audio tapes and have them in transcripts. So you got some beef with 3-ring binder with all the transcripts, with all the forms, with all the step-by-step things that they need to do. Doesn't have to be a huge course. People don't place the value on the size of the course. It's on the content of the information. And then you just give them the information that will solve their problems, and then you can start marketing yourself as a published expert with his own course.
Okay, well, you give me some food for thought, and I have not spoken to fine line about anything that I'm doing. There is a contract in existence in regards to anything that I do or any endeavors that I choose to undertake. I don't know if this would fall into that category or not. I'm going to need to read all the fine print there. They pretty much own me, but more from a product standpoint.
Right, they don't own your ideas. You can't create any new products.
Well, anything that I do will become part of the prime line organization, but I think they're referring more to a product type situation, not something to do with my personal life, which is really what this is. It's kind of a fine edge there.
Yeah, you can just say, I want to do outside consulting, and they could benefit from it because you'll be out there looking for new great products that you can bring to them. And that falls within the scope of what you're doing anyway. You're allowed to market products for them, aren't you?
Definitely. I've got several things in mind.
Well, you're a good guy to know. I love developing products myself, and if I come across one for Home Depot, I'm going to call you.
People come to online all the time, and I recently was sitting in on a meeting with a gentleman who had a plastic 5-gallon paint bucket, and it had an electric motor in there, and had a series of filters. The filters were all, you know, this is for taking out paint fumes, this is a charcoal filter, this is for taking out sawdust. And what this thing did is somebody's working in your home, or they're painting or doing something inside your house, you turn this thing on, and it moved some incredible amount of air. It was very quiet. What it would do is it filtered out all the paint smell, or sucked up all the sawdust with a bucket, with a plug. He just turned this thing on, and he was there pitching this thing to prime one. And after he left, the sample was sitting on the conference room table, and talked to the owner. So he told me the whole thing about it. And this guy invented this thing. He has no idea how to sell it or what to do with it. It was kind of a neat deal, but the only thing was way overpriced. He wanted to sell it Home Depot, and I was like $250 for it. Well, nobody's going to pay $250. I mean, the thing was $69.95, I can see it. But it's things like that that people are coming to him, and I see these things lined up in his office and in his rooms all the time where people are coming to them. I mean, I was one of them, but 90% of them end up in the back storage rooms. It takes a lot of time and effort to go find a prime line, do all these presentations. It's very discouraging to do 10 of those and walk away, if the phone doesn't ring pretty soon, you're putting stuff in storage room yourself.
That's true. People give up too easy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you.
Give me a week or so. A lot of things going on right now, so.
No problem. I'll wait to hear from you.
Okay. You will be hearing from me.
Okay, great.
Take care.
Bye.
Did you know I do audio interviews? I bet you could tell by now that I do audio interviews with experts on marketing, advertising, direct mail, list management, you name it. My interviews can build the value of your information products. My interviews can enhance the sales of a website. My interviews can make you famous. If you want someone who has an intimate knowledge of the direct mail business and understands the questions to ask, understands how to dig out the scoop, understands how to produce, develop, and create a compelling audio product, you want to talk to me. I promise you, if you've got a product you're selling and you want to bring life and build value into it, please contact me. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. That's the end of this interview with John. I hope it's been helpful and given you some insight into how you can get your product into mass merchandisers like Home Depot.